Lembit Opic.
You're listening to Lembit Opic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good morning, Planet Earth. Lembit Opic here again for 4 hours of news and comment this Sunday, if you happen to be in the United Kingdom. Wherever you are, you're most welcome to the home of free speech, today's News Talk TNT, where we find the facts, kill the spin, and tell it like it is as best we can. The great thing is I can share my opinions, but you don't have to accept them. Your mission is to think for yourself. If you're ready to do that, we're going to get on just fine. If not, go to the mainstream media. They'll tell you what to think. The four guests I have today are very independent-minded. They will not be bought. They will not be bullied. We'll be starting with Jana London in a moment. She's got her own story to tell, and I'll get her to introduce herself in her own words before we get into the detail of the things that she cares about. And you care about too, if you care about the world. John Padbury joins me after that, a former special branch detective inspector and somebody who can come clean on the not so clean business of policing in the United Kingdom to some extent. Let's see what he has to say. Then we move on to Graham Moore, who's from the English Constitution Party, one of the developing parties, which seems to indicate a general dissatisfaction with the Uni Party, by which I mean the Conservatives, Labour, and the little tiny Liberal Democrats, who used to be big before Nick Clegg, former leader, more or less sold them down the river. And then we'll be talking to Chris Thrall, former Elite Forces and Veteran of the Year, somebody with great military qualifications and a great qualification to share views with you here on today's news talk. All of them with us, but Jana London is the next person to come up. Before we go to Jana, I want to just highlight one story which amuses me in the United Kingdom. There's been another defection away from the Conservatives at a time when the ship is already sinking. Dan Poulter is the latest escapee from the Conservatives. He's a Conservative Member of Parliament, he was until today, in a fairly safe seat, it has to be said. And his reasons for leaving the Conservatives and joining Labour are apparently because he doesn't think that the Conservatives are up to the job. He's a part-time worker in the NHS, that's the National Health Service in the United Kingdom, often touted as the great example of state-sponsored healthcare. Well, Dan doesn't think his party, the party he's been a member of and had been an MP for a long, long time, 14 years, in fact, since I left Parliament, he doesn't think his party's up to the job. It's only taken him 14 years to work that out. And what he's done is he's left the Conservatives to join, wait for it, the Labour Party. Oh, yes, that great bastion of alternative thinking led by Keir Starmer, the party that supports just about every foreign policy escapade of the Conservatives, doesn't seem to have any particularly different economic views, but just says it's going to do better. Now, what confuses me about Dan's defection is, number one, his seat isn't marginal. He probably would have won it had he stayed as a Conservative, but it's much less likely he would hold it as a Labour candidate, if that's his plan. Maybe he's not planning to re-stand. The second confusing thing about it is, why would he join a party which has pretty much the same policies as the ones he's left? I mean, this is the point. I don't really see anyone defecting from Conservative to Labour making a big statement, apart from the fact they want to change the colour of their tie from blue to red. More than that, Dan Poulter is being touted by the left-leaning newspapers, particularly, and the left-leaning, potentially state-sponsored media, depending how you treat the British media, as a very senior Conservative who's jumped ship. I bet you've never heard of him before. I would be pretty sure that the majority of the world has never heard of Dan Poulter. He's only well known because it's a big story, or at least you're being told it's a big story by the media. Here's my take. Anyone who joins Labour or Conservative swaps around is really not changing anything at all. By and large, I think they're doing it for their own political ambition. We tend to find those things out after elections rather than before. But I think the one thing we can say is the Conservative Titanic is clearly sinking. It's hit the iceberg of unpopularity and can't bail itself out faster than it's shipping hate, disappointment and water. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Labour Party is going to be any better. It could be almost like two great ships, both hitting the same iceberg, but one being a bit further underwater than the other. Hence the reason we've got another alternative from the fast developing party base in the UK to explain his thinking about the situation in the UK. All of that with me, Lembotopic, in the next 4 hours. You're welcome to get involved in the chat. Go to tntradio.live. You'll find an active and very feisty group there. I'll read out as many of the messages as I can, as long as they're legal, as long as they're clean. And you can also phone in. You'll find out the phone numbers at tntradio.live too. All of that with me here, Lembotopic. Love to hear your views. But coming up next, we've got Jenna, who's going to have her own very specific and very interesting take on the world about us. All of that with me on the Lembotopic show right here on TNT.
Are we on the air?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
On the air 24/7, your news talk giant, TNT.
Well, we go to our first guest now. Jana, welcome to TNT, today's news talk. This is the first time you've been on my show. A real honor to have you here. How are you doing?
Morning, happy Sunday, and thanks for having me also. It's a pleasure to speak in a free speech environment. We fully support free speech, and I think this type of media is the best media, and the old one, the legacy media, is nothing but propaganda. So thanks for having some truth on your show.
I think you can fully expect yourself to turn up in an advert for TNT based on what you just said there. Thank you very much indeed. I actually got into politics as a libertarian. That's always been my credo. That's why I got into politics, and that's why I work here. It's nice of you to say that. And to that extent, I feel we're kindred spirits. Where are you in the world?
Where am I, physically or emotionally?
Physically, we'll start with the physical. That's
easy. Okay. Start with physical. Okay. Physical's easy. I live just outside of Dublin in the countryside, a lovely county called County Meath, where we have lots of green fields and country living, but not too far from Dublin City. But Dublin City is certainly a different place than it was when I moved here over 21 years ago. Ireland is different place altogether.
For better or worse?
Worse, much worse.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you'd say that. I was hoping you'd say that. Otherwise, I would have been, I'd done my research about you. Let's start just in the first few minutes to know a bit more about you, Jana, London. How have you ended up in a situation where you really are a bit of a front runner in taking what you might argue is a non-mainstream attitude? It should be mainstream, and perhaps for the public it is mainstream, but in terms of the establishment, less than mainstream attitude towards the world about us.
Yeah, how did I get here? Well, I can certainly say it was by accident. First and foremost, I'm a mom of two small children. I moved to Ireland 21 years ago as a senior manager in the multinational financial sector. I worked in that area for 20 years of my life, and then I became a mom, and something in my maternal instinct said, my job is to be home raising my small children. And that's what I've done for the last 9 years. Whilst doing that, the world started to crumble apart, and I accidentally found myself becoming an activist and a campaigner because of what's happened in the world. I only woke up to what's happening in the world. I was a late bloomer. I woke up in the COVID era in 2020 that something was not right. And I started campaigning in 2020 against a variety of issues, and then it's grown legs since. And the issues around us affecting women, children, families, and our values are completely under attack. Although we're not in technically a war with missiles and bombs here in Ireland, but I will talk about Newtown, Mount Kennedy shortly. We are in a psychological war. We are in a war where people are under attack, and everything that was good in Ireland and everything I moved here for is under attack. On the side, I'm also a personal and business life coach and NLP practitioner, where I help people through any challenge they may have. But right now, the campaigning is pretty much consuming my life whilst tending to my two small kids.
NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Let me make an incredibly cliquey joke in that case. Oh, yeah, I'm really impressed by what you've done. There we go. Let's move swiftly on. I studied it myself, actually. I used to work in a large multinational company, Procter & Gamble. I was very impressed with them, actually. And they let me indulge myself as the global HR training manager in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, which I tend to think about as the operating system of the human race, because it doesn't seem to change much from one person to another. That's a fascinating thing. That means that you have dug deep into the human psyche and how we think.
Correct. And you know, I don't like the word programming because that's exactly what is happening to people's minds at the moment. And that's certainly not what I do in my practice at all. So I don't like the term programming. But really, in a nutshell, what it does is, or what I do to help my clients is, generally, when you see the world, you know, there's so much going on. All of our sensory parts, our hearing and what we see and taste and feel and all of that, it would overwhelm us and we literally would have a meltdown if we tried to process everything. So the human mind either generalizes, distorts, or deletes what comes into our mind. But what gets distorted, that changes our view of the world, of course, but things never really delete. They sit into the unconscious mind. So clients that have come to me, particularly the last few years with anxiety, lack of self-worth, et cetera, that feeling, it's almost like if there was a rope. There's a little knot in their rope and you've got to clear where that knot started. And generally the client doesn't know because they buried it in their unconscious mind. It could be something that happened to them when they were 9 or 10 years old and they've carried it through their adult life. So it's really helping them clear any limiting self-beliefs that they have, stopping them from doing whatever they want in their life, be it personal or professional. So I don't like the word programming because we're seeing what the mainstream media and government are doing to people's mind at the moment.
I do tend to think of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, as actually more accurately, as I said before, the operating system. But within that, yes, you can reprogram. If you're aware of it, you can reprogram yourself. What I'm interested in is the extent to which there are some cues which are subliminal. We notice them subconsciously, but most people don't know that they've done that. For example, how many times do we hear somebody saying, well, I know she's lying. I don't know why I know she's lying, but I know she's lying. And it's almost always an NLP cue. And I don't think that we are programmed. I think that this comes with being a human to an extent. And I'm quite pleased about it. I think you have to be quite a big sociopath to be able to overcome that completely. Maybe nobody can. But I'm indulging myself, so let's go back to what we're meant to be talking about. All of that means that you've got to stage, and you've inferred it now in what you've said, the stage that you think that we're programming ourselves, but not in a healthy direction. At least society is being programmed, yeah, but not in a healthy direction.
Society is absolutely being programmed. And I do believe that during the COVID times, it was very indicative that people lost the ability to be critical thinkers. And I lived in a wonderful little bubble thinking the world was all rosy up until 2020. And when the COVID happened, and everyone can have their different views and those views are absolutely respected, but my view is when the COVID happened, I at first thought there really may be something dangerous that means we have to lock in our house and scrub our groceries down as they get dropped off at the door and all of that, because until you have the facts and data, you cannot make really a proper analysis. You have your gut instinct, but you really need to see facts. And I looked at a lot of facts and data. There was a report, HPSC surveillance data put together by our HSE. And I looked at the average age of death. I looked at comorbidities that were had for average age of death. I looked at, did any young people die from COVID, like my children's age, most importantly, or myself as a young, I say that in tongue in cheek, mother. And when I looked at the data, it didn't add up. I said, and then I looked at the flu data. And I said, well, really the COVID data really kind of matches the flu data. Why is everybody told they can't leave their house, they can't travel more than 5K, they have to wear a mask, they can't visit loved ones in nursing homes, they need this injection, which was experimental. It didn't match the data. So I followed my gut instinct, but most importantly, the facts and data. But in doing so, that's just one example of what's happening over here. The government and media were quick to say anybody questioning it is a anti-vaxxer, a crank, conspiracy theorist, put on your tin hat. So they got that language from a neuro-linguistic programming into the public psyche. So people, when they heard someone like me say, I didn't get the injection, or I can't go out to eat with you because I'm not allowed in a restaurant. They immediately went into, what did RTE, what did our national broadcaster say? That person is dangerous. They're killing granny. They're not part of the team. And the same thing is going with immigration that we have here, which is a serious problem. The same thing is going with the sexualization and indoctrination of children. It's all done under programming people's minds, under the weaponization of empathy. And the Irish people are not a bigoted, racist, hateful bunch. Yet our Minister for Justice is trying her hardest to get the hate speech bill passed, which is really could penalize us for our thoughts, not even our actions, pure totalitarianism. That's sort of what's happening.
Hold that thought. That's quite provocative, not necessarily controversial in my book, but provocative perspective, which I want to explore. I want to explore it because I suspect there are some mirrors to what you're describing in the British state of Scotland. But we'll come back to you in a minute. You're listening to Jana London, who's explaining her disappointment in the change in the south of Ireland, where she has chosen to live. Do keep your comments coming. Lots of discussion already there. Go to tntradio.live. You can also phone if you find the phone numbers down at the tntradio.live site as well. We'll come back to Jana in just a moment. This is the Lembotopic Show. This is TNT. See you in a minute.
TNT's Dirk Pullman.
Tell us what happened on this during this Congress that you tried to have to take place in Berlin, but you were not really successful because our police intervened and some people from the Interior Minister cursed them.
It was quite hysterical. You know, this level of rhetorical escalation, and then also politicians in Berlin saying that this should be banned, and in fact, you know, that wouldn't have been legal. There were no legal grounds for a ban. And, but it was clear that if they couldn't ban it, they could still find other ways to prevent it. One of these ways was by freezing our bank account, so freezing Jewish Voices bank account, because our account was being used to gather the funds for it.
The Dirk Pullman Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The Net Zero Con will leave millions of citizens dependent on state handouts.
It isn't a theory.
It's an agenda. There is no climate emergency. On air 24/7. This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Lembotopic Show. I'm with Jana London, who hasn't really got yet to the main point that she's just about to explore. And I think you'll find it interesting. Agree or disagree, you have to hear this. This is must viewing, not just for those in Ireland, but for anybody who's concerned about our liberty and about wokeness creating an ironic kind of conformism, which is far more discriminatory than the thing it's claiming to replace. Before we go to that, just a few comments coming up. They're slightly disjointed because I haven't got time to read the whole threads. Another incentive for you to go to tntradio.live and join the chat. One is, good morning, Lord Melbury, and we've had Shug. Yes. Here is a comment from, sorry, I scrolled up by accident. Chris says a big lie about certain debates about the Gestapo and so forth. It's an interesting sub-debate, which you might want to get involved in. It's going right back into the 1940s. One of the nice things about the dialogue is that Just a Bloke says, I've also been delaying planting out due to the chilly weather, but greenhouse is full to the gunnels, barely room to get in there at present. And that might be to do with the fact that we're having unseasonably cold weather. Yes, climate fanaticists who mix up climate and weather. Cold weather. If it happens a lot, it becomes a cooling climate. We'll see if that's true or not. I have predicted that, not the only person. I think we're heading into a period of cooling. Talk about that at the beginning of the next hour. Then we've got a comment from Hemingway. This Pultegeezer, that's the defector from Conservatives to Labour, This Portuguese alembit seems to believe that the front nine and the back nine in politics are actually different. He's also executive director of a handful of pharmaceutical companies. Didn't know that, Hemingway. Thanks for that. Haven't checked it, but there we go. It's not libelous, even if you're wrong. Lord Melbury says Southern Ireland, where one in four people are not Indigenous Irish, when immigrants won't integrate, where there are no-go areas, where the police will not enter, and where the immigrants attack the people of the host nation happens, that's when we know multiculturalism doesn't work. Just look at Sweden. And with that, I want to come back to you, Jana. You touched on migration as an issue. I grew up in the north of Ireland myself, and you could argue that the whole of the north of Ireland, well, most of it is populated by migrants in a funny kind of way. But what is the situation with immigration? I remember last year there was some kind of a riot when an immigrant committed crimes against people, and the media just wouldn't say he was of foreign stock. They wouldn't say it on the state-sponsored station. But then, of course, eventually came out that he was. You live there. What's your take?
Yeah, in Ireland right now, we have a pretty much an open border policy. And about, I think a poll was done that about 75% of the public feels that there's a serious problem with the immigration policy. Now, I am not anti-immigrant because obviously I am an immigrant to Ireland, but what I'm against is a reckless open border policy. And we're seeing so many towns and villages here in Ireland flooded with migrants. Now, a couple of years ago, the government said that we're going to be providing housing for Ukrainian women and children. And everybody was feeling really a lot of sympathy for what's happening in Ukraine and opened their homes and renovated their spare properties. And the Ukrainian women were meant to be coming in. However, it was very clear that the people coming in were not Ukrainian and they were not women. We have thousands and thousands of single men coming in. They're unvetted. Many are getting on the plane with a passport, but coming off without a passport. And the locals have been pushing back, but the government has lost the room. The government has completely disenfranchised the people, labeled the people of Ireland as such horrible names as racist and hateful and bigoted, tried to push through their hate speech laws to deal with these pesky, hateful Irish people, which they're obviously not. And it's really heating up now in Newtown Mount Kennedy on Twitter. Anyone can follow hashtag Newtown Mount Kennedy. And I spoke with, one of the men that's from Newtown Mount Kennedy at a conference I was at yesterday, an amazing conference I can talk about that happened in Dublin about resisting gender ideology. This man is from Newtown Mount Kennedy, lives there. And I spoke to him today just to get the latest update. They brought in a Garda riot squad. There's what's happening in Newtown Mount Kennedy. They announced that a couple hundred people would be moving into a place in Newtown Mount Kennedy. This is a small little village in Wicklow with about 3,000 people, a GAA club, probably a pub and a shop, and a couple hundred people were moving in. But the aerial drone footage that shows the site would easily fit over 1,000. And they're not being told who's going in. You know, they've asked questions, they've been kept in the dark. So the whole community in Newtown Mount Kennedy has pulled together and have done a 24/7 peaceful protest against what's happening, saying that these people are not coming in. This is our village and we have every right to be consulted about this. The Garda raided the village. I met the journalist yesterday, Fatima Gunning, who Grip Media did a press release on this, that Fatima Gunning, the journalist, went to do journalism there. The Garda pepper sprayed her. The Garda, meant to be guardians of the peace, working for the people, have brought in water cannons. So meanwhile, the local community is asking questions. The farmers have actually pulled together as well. They built a little hut for the people working 24/7 to protect their village, to stay in undercover, to sleep in if needed. They've hooked up CCTV. They've set up a snack shop. It's a true example. The people of Newtown Mount Kennedy, it truly is an example of the Irish at this point saying, we are protecting our village, our sovereignty, our people, and we are saying no, but the Garda are attacking the people of Ireland. And I believe, my personal opinion is this was sent as an order by Minister McEntee or Garda Commissioner Drew Harris, or possibly their recruiting agent, Minister for Children and Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, who's been recruiting these single unvetted men in multiple languages on Twitter to bring them to Ireland. We don't know their history. We don't know their criminal past, but they're coming for our most generous welfare benefits. And the people are not being listened to by the government. So we need to get this government out and vote in independence in the next election. Not one of these party members or their parties should ever be let in to lead this country again.
It's ironic indeed. After the struggle for independence in the south of Ireland, I won't go through the whole history of it, it goes back centuries. But after Ireland seeking to establish its own cultural identity, it now seems willing to dilute it in, as you've said before, an unstructured way, without a strategy. And this worries me. What is, though, the motivation? I work on the assumption, Jana, that most people go into politics for the right reasons, even if they mess up. So what virtuous reason do they have to try to actually spin up immigration, even though it's clearly unpopular with large proportions of the Irish population?
Yeah, very good question. And there's probably many different insights on this, but if we look at what the end goal is, I always say it's important to know what's happening in the foreground, which is the immigration, the sexualization of children, the indoctrination of children, the climate alarmism. All that is what we're seeing. But what we have to ask ourselves and use our critical thinking is, what is it that we're not seeing? And what's happening behind the scenes, one really big thing coming up is the WHO treaty, which is not being talked about in any mainstream media. The World Health Organization, which is really in partnership, one in the same as the World Economic Forum, which is made up of 1,000 of the world's largest, richest companies, corporations. They want to have the nation states sign the WHO treaty and international health regulations. That will lead to handing over of our nation's freedom and sovereignty. And they want every nation state to do this. And what that in the WHO treaty, and we had an event in Dublin where we flew over the likes of Andrew Bridgen and Christine Anderson and some doctors from around the world and lawyers to present to our parliamentarians on it. That WHO treaty affects every aspect of life on planet Earth. It's food, it's farming, it's our health, it's climate, it's education. For example, I presented yesterday at a conference on the WHO standards of sexuality in Europe. Every listener should look that document up, WHO standards of sexuality. It talks about age 9 having their first sexual experience. It talks about gender identity from age 4. So it's coming from the top down. So this WHO treaty and the World Economic Forum, Agenda 2030, all of that is what's driving everything we're seeing in front of us, is driven by this well-funded multi-trillion dollar operation at the top without any say from the people. That's where it's coming from. It's to break down society. It's to break down anything normal, to break down the indigenous people, to break down faith, family values, anything at all that's considered kind of normal and value. They want to break it down. And this is really like a soft coup to the WHO. And this is what we have to stop. That's coming up at the end of May. Stephen Donnelly, Minister for Health, said he's going to fly right over there and sign this treaty because we're friends with the treaty. But the people don't want this. But the people don't know about this.
Natural Women's Council is one of your key organizations that you work with. Let's talk about that. And then in the rest of the show, I want to explore your explicit concerns. And by the way, just to put my cards on the table, I've become increasingly disturbed by the World Health Organization, an organization that seems to want to make it mandatory, globally mandatory, to take vaccinations, regardless of what you personally want and what your country wants. But what does that council do, the council that you're involved in?
Yeah, so I founded the Natural Women's Council in July 7th, 2022. And we were informed by a group that we work very closely with, the Lawyers for Justice Ireland, that the word woman was going to be erased from the Maternity Protection Acts, Article 10, 11, and 12, to cater to transgender men who breastfeed or some nonsense. So we did a little event outside Leinster House, our government buildings, to celebrate women. We didn't call it a protest. We went to assert our rights as women and say, we will not be erased. We are not going away. They reversed that decision. But on that day, we said, let's launch a Women's Council of Ireland, because the National Women's Council of Ireland, NWCI, they do not advocate for women and girls. they have a man identifying as a woman on their executive board, and they were also pushing to erase woman and mother during the last referendum in March. So we launched our own, and we get zero public funding. We get zero funding at all. We go out and rattle a bucket for some change and launch a GoFund campaign once in a while. And we really have just a group of concerned women about what's happening in the country and what's happening to women, children, but also the families. So that includes men. So it's fighting for our freedoms and our sovereignty and the protection of children. And we've launched some really, really successful campaigns against the sexualization and indoctrination of children to bring this into the public eye.
I want to come back to that after the break. You mentioned something else I do want to cover now, though. There was a referendum, and everyone in the world who's watching needs to listen up now. There was a referendum which sought to change the constitution of the south of Ireland, or the whole of Ireland if it unifies, in quite an interesting way, in a, what I would think is a woke way. You were there, you were in the front line. Tell us what the ministers wanted to do, and then let's celebrate the result of the referendum.
Yes, they wanted to, every political party and every NGO, all of them were pushing the vote for a yes, yes. And in a nutshell, a yes, yes would erase the only reference to mother and woman in the Constitution and the word home. It would also seek to bring in a term called durable relationships, which they couldn't even define, and said they would just leave it to the courts to figure that one out later. So regarding wills and inheritance and all of that, just put durable relationships in. Now, many people, including Senator Michael McDougall, who's very well regarded and very knowledgeable with the Constitution and the laws, said, you know, he was pushing for a no vote, and said, you know, let's this durable relationships. What effect does this have on immigration? So everybody was wondering what durable relationships meant. The Attorney General published some advice to Roderick O'Gorman and the ministers on what that possibly would mean in the referendum and some concerns. Michael McDougall, the senator, requested that document and was refused it. The public were not allowed to see what the Attorney General advice was. But after the referendum, it was published. And thankfully, the public were much wiser than the government thought. And even people who didn't know much about the referendum or all the details that we campaigned for, against, I should say, they were saying they're going to vote no, just to protest, do a silent protest of the government. So anything the Irish government is pushing at this point, the public is just going to say no, because the public are disenfranchised. The government has lost the room and lost all the trust. And luckily, it was a landslide, 75% no. And that was really a pivotal moment here in Ireland, because when that no came out, it was like the veil of fear lifted. And the Irish people, who maybe felt something wasn't right, but didn't dare to speak up, saw 75% and kind of looked around and went, wow, my neighbors and friends and family are feeling the same way I do. And we've seen the tide turn and the people rise up because they realize they are not alone. Something is wrong here in Little Ireland.
The change, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seemed to me it was all about wokeness, this change to the Constitution. Why did they want to get rid of the word woman and mother?
Yeah, they wanted to get rid of the word woman and mother, because if you look at everything else happening in Ireland that is completely woke and related to gender identity, the Gender Recognition Act, a man can just say he's a woman and get that act approved so he can access our sports and our toilets, etc. It's all down to erasing the sexes. So there's no male and female now. It's just whatever somebody wants to be. So that gender ideology is what they wanted to embed that into the Constitution. But I also feel that the government know that there's no one more protective of the children and the family than the woman and the mother. We are the matriarchs of the home. We are the divine femininity, and no one will get between us and our children. So by erasing that woman and mother, they thought it would potentially weaken our strength. But instead, it backfired, and we rose up, and all the women and the men rose up and said, we will not be erasing women in Ireland. So it backfired on them, and it was a really pivotal moment. And I think now we've really got some some wind in our sails to make a change in this country. And we look all around, Newtown, Mount Kennedy's rising up. The people voted no, no. There's going to be a general election and a local election. We need to get these traitors out of that government or this country will have no hope. We should only be voting for independents, not any party in this country. That's the only hope we have.
We'll come back to you in just a minute, Janet. I want to talk to you, with you more about your concerns about the sexualization of children. I declare an interest. I'm a parent, two girls. They know what they are and who they are. And I don't want anyone confusing them about that. But we'll come back to that in a minute. If you've got comments, then go to tntradio.live. I'll have a quick look during the break. Read some of them out. I hope you're agreeing this is very big insight into a fantastic country with maybe less than fantastic politics at the moment. I'm Len Bitopic. This is the Today's News Talk TNT station. We'll see you in a minute.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Prescription drug pricing points to corporate
Freedom of the press is about your right to know. It's about your right to be informed. Today, there are real threats to press freedom. And your right to know about the world around us. We must protect our right to know, no matter what kind of news is important to you. Before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
Len Bitopic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Len Bitopic show here on today's News Talk, TNT. We still have Jana London from the south of Ireland with us. Fascinating discussion about the pushback against the state and what looks like a pretty cynical agenda, really, to try and force us in a direction that, in a referendum, the Irish rejected. They rejected, three out of four of them at least, to the idea of taking the word woman and taking the word mother out of the Constitution. And that should provide some hope for those who think that we need to have a sense of perspective. Let me just race through some of the comments, because there are so many of them. If I don't do it now, I'll never get back to them in the show today. A few comments. Eric says, Jana's a great guest. She gathered data to make a judgment. What needs to be said is whether the data was correct. I realize you have to start somewhere. I think there were deaths that miscategorized caused by COVID to provide financial support to hospitals in the US, at least. These people are unscrupulous, but praise indeed anyway there for Jana. All the stats show the cooling effect, says Chris, about my comments on the climate. I'll come back to that a bit later on. Lord Melbury mentions a friend of mine, Christopher Monckton, and the Lord says, Lord Melbury, that is, I think Christopher Monckton is brilliant at completely debunking the IPCC's rubbish about climate. I believe Christopher thinks we are going into a global cooling period too. He does. I talked to him about this personally. Lord Melbury, and he definitely does. We'll have somebody next week about this subject, because I think at the end of April, if anyone claims this has been a record month in temperature, they're taking us for fools. Chris says, I have had text conversation with Chris Monckton, a great mind he is, and he's very engaging, very engaging. And then let's move on to this. This is in terms of what I've just been talking with my guest about. Hemingway says, don't forget that, by the way, I can't corroborate it. I'm reading this out. So if you know better, then correct it, but I'll just read this out. Don't forget that Irish councillor Azad Talukhter, who responded to protests last November about migrants stabbing three children by saying the protesters should be shot in the head or beaten by mobs until they die. Well, he later withdrew the comment, but he's still in a job. Well, I can't check that, but I read it out. If you know better, then say so. If you can confirm that, then say so too, please. Thank you for that, Hemingway. The motivation is to destroy the nation state, says Hermetica, and it's currently working, suggests Mingaling. A couple more here. Chris says, a civil uprising is the only solution. World Economic Forum don't respond to discussions. The first country to rise up will allow others to follow suit. And Hemingway adds, the state of Oklahoma has just passed a bill denying jurisdiction in the state to the World Health Organization, the UN, and the World Economic Forum. Good on those guys. Lots more there. Janet, you seem to have at least stirred up an angry mob on the chat. Were you responsible for stirring up an angry mob in the referendum in Ireland?
Well, we went around and we did
some. Oh, sorry, my microphone. Let me just re-hook that up. We did a couple of live events where we passed out about 100,000 leaflets in the country. So we spoke about the details of the referendum. We spoke about our views. So we might have stirred up an angry mob, but we got the result we needed. So it's okay if we don't. If not everybody's happy about that.
It's not wrong to be angry if there's a justification. And one thing that bothers me is the prospect of my children, age 3 and 6, both girls, being forced to make judgments about their sexual identity without allowing the natural process of adolescence and puberty working this out for them. Where do you stand on this? And this comes very close to the Natural Women's Council's agenda, I think, Jana.
It does. Yes. The children in Ireland are being indoctrinated and sexualized both at libraries and in the school curriculum. We work with an amazing group of teachers, the Irish Education Alliance, who have been campaigning against this for quite some time. And they've been going through all of the curriculum books. I have about 10 of these books in my press, and we shared them at the conference I was at yesterday. So they're teaching in the schools. This is at age 12 at the moment, but going down to primary school. And it says in the school curriculum books that you can be a boy, girl, neither or both, regardless of the sex you were assigned at birth. Now, sex, by the way, is not assigned at birth. It's determined at conception in the womb. But now people can just pick the sex of their child at birth. One of the politicians, Paul Murphy, People Before Profit, has had a baby recently and decided not to name the baby's sex or gender. Let them decide as they get older or whatever. So not a boy or a girl. That those days are gone in the eyes of People Before Profit. But I have there's a few documents that are really driving this. So there's the WHO one I talked about, but there's one that the HSE put together. HSE Relationships and Sexuality Education.
And do you mean Health and Safety Executive? Do you mean HSE, exactly. Health and Safety Executive? Yeah, okay.
Exactly. There are like our NHS, really. And they put together a document which is helps in driving this gender ideology. And in this document, it talks about gender and gender identity, teaching the children a new vocabulary like transgender, non-binary, teaches them about cisgender, trans, and transition. It also talks about, on page 15, about teaching children about cross-dressing and drag queens, not in a negative light at all, just that these are what you can do. So if your child comes home and wants to be a cross-dresser, they learn that in school. The other thing that's really important to note, and this should terrify any parent, be it Ireland or globally, the education was not done in consultation with the parents. So we did the junior cycle was done in 2022, which gave parents an opportunity to give feedback on the curriculum designed by our NCCA, the curriculum body. Parents weren't invited. We have a Freedom of Information Act request that they've denied to prove parents were sidelined. And now it's with the commissioner. We've appealed it. Senior cycle, we weren't invited. Now primary school opened in March. So that's age 5. The parents have not been invited because I am a primary school parent. That consultation is open until June 7th. They do not want parents involved. We also have received in writing information that suggests, and we're going to dig into it more, that the teachers are going to be asked to have a secrecy pact in the classroom. So what your child learns in school, they are not to go home and tell mommy and daddy. Also, the government was very generous in providing the free book scheme. So I don't have to buy the books this year. I don't have to order them, and they'll be left in the school. And children, don't tell mommy and daddy what's in those books. So we can only imagine why that is. And I have all the documents and books to show exactly why they don't want parents to be involved in the consultation, but also to see what's in those books. They are indoctrinating and sexualizing the children. That's the curriculum. We also have a library book campaign we did where we were finding highly sexual books in the children's section in the library for age 12. We did a huge campaign countrywide. Thousands of people went into the libraries to serve them with a public notice of liability. The good news is they moved several of those books to the adult section. However, we dug a little deeper and the Libraries Ireland website, Libraries Ireland, now has that children, young adult, which they classify as age 12 in the library, 12 as a young adult, can access the adult section. So great, they moved the books out of the kids section, but the kids can access them anyway. And we've launched a really amazing video series that we released our first one last night on Natural Woman's IE on Twitter. Story time for the Irish mammy. And we have a 10-part series that Ryland Media filmed for us, where Irish mammies across the country gathered and did some reading of the curriculum books and of the library books so parents can see what their precious children will be learning at the school and the library. And there are 2 to 3 minute clips reading from the actual book. So if this doesn't concern parents, I'm not sure what will.
Hermetica says secrecy pact. That's child abuse and paedophilia.
It is.
The strong line, yes. Holly uses very strong language about certain individuals I was mentioning before. And Hemingway says, BBC have put Sam Smith, the headliner BBC Proms concert this year. Smith was born straight, but he has since switched to being gay, then genderqueer, and is now a non-binary feminist who likes dressing up as Satan and bears a strong resemblance to a Chinese spy balloon. He also dreams of being a fisher, they probably not all it dreams about. Hemingway tends to be somewhat prosaic, but you get the point. My concern and what you've said there is any school, any teacher that tries to drive a wedge between the parent-child relationship, accepting that some parent-child relationships aren't healthy, but that's not the point. Any teacher, any school that actively, strategically says, keep this in the school, mm-hmm. is beginning to monkey with social engineering. And some hints of what happened in the Cultural Revolution in China and Nazism in the 1930s.
It's exactly the same. This is a Marxism agenda. And another point of reference, which I encourage everyone to watch, it's viewer discretion. It's disturbing, but they're very insightful. We have a retired engineer, Eugene, who does amazing research for us. And on the Natural Women's Council YouTube, we've produced a series called The Queering of Irish Education. And its 4 parts have been recorded. And it does a deep dive into where this is coming from. And it does have roots linked to pedophiles. There's one video on there, I think it's part 2, which they did a study as believing that children are born sexual, and they published a study that showed how many orgasms they could give a child by age group. And the child was okay with that orgasm. But I'm sorry, if a 4-year-old is having multiple orgasms and screaming, they are screaming in pain, and that is child abuse. So those queering of the Irish education on my YouTube channel, Natural Women's Council, there's 4 parts. Part 5 will be coming up. The reason we produced this series, it was based on hundreds of hours of reading books, articles, studies, papers, etc. The reason we put this together is parents were coming to our group saying, where is this coming from? We didn't ask for this. So we've peeled back the layers of that onion to show exactly where it's coming from. And it is in our Irish schools, but it's done under the guise of DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and anti-bullying and kindness. That is not what's the foundation of this at all. This is Marxism. This is child abuse. And those that series we produce proves that to you. Shocking.
Just a bloke reminds us of a notorious paedophile who worked in the state-sponsored station, I will mention it, the BBC, for decades, Jimmy Savile. And his phrase apparently mm-hmm. was, it's our little secret. That's really interesting.
Yes, well, and I guess the most... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I'll just read one more. Hermetica says, that is exactly it, Lambert. The Great Reset is the same as the Great Leap Forward. in China. And let's not forget millions of people died in that Marxist agenda. And Holly adds, and they will again. Go ahead, Jana.
I was going to say, I know we're wrapping up in a few minutes. People are probably feeling overwhelmed with the chaos happening in Ireland and maybe even in the country they live in. But the most important thing to realize is the power of the people is much greater than the people in power. It's small government, big people, and we need everybody to wake up and rise up and take action. So the small things in our world here that need to happen is we have an EU migration pact that's happening that wants to bring in at least 20,000 more migrants every year under this act, or we will be severely fined if we don't. We are already at tipping point. Lawyers for Justice Ireland on their Facebook and Twitter page has a letter template that people can send to ask their TD to opt out of this EU migration pact. Another initiative is the letter campaign to schools and TDs regarding the sexualization and indoctrination. Those letters can be found. It's a copy paste job for anyone that only has 5 minutes on naturalwomenscouncil.ie. So, and the third thing is the WHO treaty happening in May. Myself and a few others are working on a grassroots initiative against that. And the website is uniteagainstwho.org. So it's, we got to stop the EU migration pact, send that letter. Stop the sexualization of kids, send those two letters. And then the WHO treaty letter. They're all done. They're all ready. It's a few minutes of your time. And it's only the power of numbers, the power of the people outweighing the ones at the top that's going to make that difference at the grassroots level.
You're giving us a positive call to action there. I'm still reeling from the fact that someone's done experimentation about sexual responses amongst children. I'm stunned.
I'll send you that link, and you can post that link in your.
I'll send you the queering of the Irish education, and you can post that series in your comments for people to watch. It's very. I was disturbed. I thought I was awake to what's happening.
I have to say that I am stunned by this. I intended to not return into politics, but slowly I'm being dragged back in, largely because of my concern about the heritage that I leave behind if I don't. Last word, we're nearly out of time. If you were to get viewers to do one thing wherever they are in the world, what would that one thing be?
There's two: think and speak. We need to think and know what's happening, but you need to have those conversations. And I have people say to me, well, I can't go up and do a speech out in the public like you, or organize an event, or go on the radio or a leaflet. That's okay. People should never, ever underestimate the power of that one conversation. If you're in the queue at your food shop or the barber or after church or wherever you are, make those big talks small talks, because people in the public don't know what's happening. We need to get it out there, and people need to take action and not be afraid.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. You might want to stick around to listen to our next guest, John Padbury. He's an expert in revolution, counter-revolution, and mass mobilization. You two could be a very powerful team. Dan London, great to speak with you. Next time in Ireland, I'll give you a call. Maybe we'll compare notes. That is Jana. Jana has basically kicked off what we're going to be discussing next, which is revolution, counter-revolution, and mass mobilization. All of that with me, Lembitopic, here on TNT. See you after the break.